As a church, our pastor has been talking on the mission of the church, and I think we have some technical difficulties here, but my wife is going to help us out with that in just a second. But we've been talking about the mission of the church, our job, our role as a church and as a church community, and we've heard many times that you are to be Christians, and you are to spread the gospel, you are to big part of our faith is sharing the gospel. We know it. We've heard it. If you've been around church at all, we like, yeah, I get it. I'm supposed to share my faith. And we've also all seen the TV shows where people are fanatics and they're doing it wrong. And so I think there's something inside of us that are like, I don't want to do it wrong. And we keep quiet. And my hopes today is at the end of our message that we will be inspired to share our faith. I would even say this, what would it look like in a church, even of, you know, we're a church of 200 in a Sunday morning in a service like this, what would happen if our church was awakened to the things of God in such a way that we went into our communities and we just talked about Jesus more? We just like bragged on how good he was to us. We didn't overcomplicate it and we didn't overthink it. We just began to share our faith and share what God is doing. What would happen? Listen to me. I believe there's a perspective sometimes that people are like, well, they're not interested. That's a terrible perspective. I just heard a story of a person that it was a missionary that was actually to Papua New Guinea, and he was going there, and the friend that was talking to me about him, he says, I was a little jealous of him because he was living with such purpose. And this, my friend of mine says, it's just weird because I'm not living with that kind of purpose. I'm jealous that he was so clear-headed. And I was like, people want to know what God is doing. People are very much interested in what God is doing. And so as a church, if you would just begin to brag, and you're not a cheap salesman, you know those cheap salesman people that invite you over for dinner every once in a while, and they're like trying to get you to buy some of their product? That is not us in the gospel. We are so much better than any marketing scheme. We've got the truth. We've got the person of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you live this way where we're living in peace, in joy. So we don't have to like, all right, I'm going to try to peddle Jesus. No. He needs no introduction. He's pretty awesome as at face value. Unless you don't really believe that, then you have to try to make it better. But it's not. God is awesome. Did you have peace today? A lot of you guys, you don't even know what it's like to have cops come visit your house because you're a Christian. You don't even know. Some of you do. Some of you are like, yeah, I know. You know. But some of us, you just grown up in this and you're just like, wow, what do you mean? Like, I've never been to jail. It's weird. Like, that's the goodness of God on your life. God is faithful. So we've been talking about the mission of the church. And so today, the title of my message, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because we know you do need a certain amount of notes to get into heaven. He will ask you whether you are saved at first, and then he'll say, where are your church notes? And so they can be digital. So some of the new people are, is he serious? Like, is that doctrine? No, I'm not serious. And I'm the youth pastor. We are allowed to not talk about doctrine. No, just joking. That was a joke. Okay. Today's message is, are you smarter than a sixth grader? And I believe it's going to be so much. I might get talked to about later on about that one, Pastor Brian. Are you smarter than a sixth grader? So that's the big question here. I got two scriptures. They're brand new. They're just hot off the press. They've never been talked about in church before, and so we're going to talk about it today. Matthew 28:18. You've never heard this scripture before. Brand new. You better be taking notes because you're just about to get a brand new revelation. And Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and he told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make as many positive posts on Facebook so people know that you are a Christian. That is how you share your faith, because he knew. No, that's not what it says, actually. It says, go and make disciples. I want us to kind of really camp on or have a thought about disciples, because sometimes I think even in our even in our, we're trying to be good, and we're like, all right, I'm supposed to share my faith, so sharing my faith looks like I'm going to go and tell my coworker, you should come to church with me, because I don't know what else to say, and like, yeah, my pastor will tell you about it. That's not even what the Bible says.
Oh, you do it, Pastor. Like, I don't know what to say.
Talk about how good God is to you. We forget. Some of you who were used to be like in the world, how well did you sleep at night? Like, what was it like being addicted? What was it like having no peace? What was it like bouncing from relationship to relationship? We forget how bad it was without Christ. We forget what we were unsure about our future and who had our future. Going through a death in your family without Christ. The world suffers in pain that sometimes we don't get. And we act like we're like, all right, I don't know if they're going to like Jesus or not. No, they will. Having the right perspective and saying, I'm just going to make disciples, not converts. I'm going to make disciples. I'm not just going to get people saved and say, good luck. I'm going to make disciples. That means I'm going to be actively involved in other people's lives in such a way that they're becoming better students of the Word of God, better students of Jesus, better followers of Christ. I'm going to be active in that. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Okay, which another shameless plug, today is small group Sunday, and that reminds us that we need to be in small groups. Small groups are really an easy way for you to do this. I mean, I'm sure many of you are already discipling lots of people, but in the meanwhile, what we can do, if you're not discipling people, you can join a small group and you can be discipled and you can help other people. So what you do is you purposely put yourself in a situation where it's like, I'm gonna do life with people. We're not meant to do it alone. And while we're at it, if you're a person that isolates yourself, the Bible says that's not wise. It's not wise. And sometimes people blame it on introverts. They're like, I'm just introverted. No, you're probably just being selfish. You're not thinking about other people. I love you. Okay. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. One more scripture before we pray. Mark 16, verse 15. Again, brand new scripture. Never talked about it before in church. Brand new revelation. I know you guys are going to walk away from here like, whoa, I never saw that before. 16:15, it says, go into the entire world and preach the good news. The gospel is good news. Anybody ever been hesitant about like, I'm afraid to tell somebody about Jesus? Are you afraid to tell somebody good news? Why would we be slow on the good news? Unless you're preaching some not good news. I mean, bad news is hard to break to people, but good news is easy. Good news is fun. And so talk about the goodness of God. He's faithful. Man, he saved me from hell. I was dead in my sins. I was lost. I was helpless. I could not do anything on my own. Like, talk about that more. Talk about, like, I was stupid, and now I'm not so much stupid. Thanks be to Jesus. Like, make that real, and make it real every day. Don't talk about what people are not supposed to do anymore. Let them get to know Jesus, and let him deal with their heart. We are good at judging. We are good at being upset at people and telling them the things they need to change. But instead, let's just tell them they need Jesus. Get good at it. Just like, man, yeah, he's faithful. Remember how people brought you along. And then bring them along the same way. I don't think anybody ever came and gave you bad news and it made you want to turn to Jesus. They gave you good news. So it says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, and anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Do you know the people sometimes who share their faith all the time, we consider them even weird? Isn't that sad? We're like, yeah, sorry, they're fanatical. Like, we'll be at a restaurant, and they'll just start talking to the waiter. It's like, geez, could you just shut up about it? That's sad. That's sad that I hope that we become the church that we constantly get interrupted. We're like, where's Pastor Brian? Oh, he's talking to somebody. He's just talking to somebody. We're just busy talking about Jesus. your entire world. Anyone who believes is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. One version actually says they're condemned already. Sometimes people think, why would a good God send people to hell? And the Bible says they're already going. It's not something, he actually made a way for them not to. So that's perspective there. So it says they will be condemned. And look at this. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. And we're a church. If you're new in this space, we believe that. Like, miracles should still follow the church. And it shouldn't be a weird thing. It shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, my hand's shaking, I can't stop it, and then I'm gonna lay it, and the people are gonna fall out like crazy. They do fall out, but we're not just seeking those things. Those things just follow us. And we're not prideful about it. We're not acting like we got a hot hand, or we're not acting like we're special. We realize that we could not do anything of ourselves, but in Christ we can do these things. And it's not a pride thing. It's not like a, oh, look at me thing. It's not, I don't need a website. I don't need to call your church and ask for an invite. I don't got a special hand. I'm a believer if these things are happening. What would it look like if at the workspace people came up and say, hey, could you pray for me? I know that when you pray, things happen. And unfortunately, at our workplaces, some people don't even know you're saved. And that's our problem. We don't need to be belligerent. We don't need to be ugly. But we do need to be powerful. The world needs it. We don't need to just be positive. We need to be powerful. There's a difference. Sometimes I'm just going to win them over with my positive attitude. Go into all the world and have a positive attitude. No. Power should follow. Miraculous. It says miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. We still got demons around here, by the way. And hopefully not around here, but I'm saying like here in the world. Some of the demons in the place, like, they know. They know. Legion. We are many. Okay. That's a joke. That's a joke. Wow. They will speak with new tongues. They're like, no, keep going. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Now, that's not a weird thing. You're not supposed to pick up snakes. It's just the idea that if a snake comes out and bites you, you'll be all right. I hate snakes. I hate surprise snakes. I don't mind like, oh, there's a snake. I just don't like when I'm walking to the forest and like, there's a snake. I just don't like that. If they drink anything deadly, anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Look at this. They will place their hands on sick people and they'll just be made well. Like, that's what we believe. And I would encourage you to meditate on that. Go home and just like think about that. Like, if it's been a while since you pray for somebody, are you a believer? And I know everybody in this place is like, I'm a believer, Pastor Nate. All right, then this is what a believer does. A dog barks, a cat meows, and a believer goes into their world and preaches the gospel. It's what we do. It's not, it doesn't say preachers, it's believers. It's just what we do, and we love people in it. Our motivations is not so that people think we're really cool. Our motivations is just because we love God, we have to share this. Does that make sense? That's our heart. All right, let's pray. You guys have gone long enough for the intro. Are you smarter than a sixth grader? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Help me preach, help them listen. I pray that by the end of today, we will have our priorities in order. That we will not be confused about why we're on this planet. We're not here to make money. We're not here to build big houses. We're here for you and your kingdom. Thank you for it. Thank you for that perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you realize that you walk in any amount of grace because of his goodness? Anything that you get today in Revelation, or any time you understand something, it is because God gave it to you. Remember that. Think that way always. Because sometimes we get really prideful and we start judging people. We even start judging other Christians. And we say things like, why don't they get that? I can't believe they did that. And we are judging them according to their revelation. And we are walking in our revelation. And all of it was given by God. And instead of acting, the Bible says, instead of acting like you didn't receive something, go ahead and say, what do you have? The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? And the answer is nothing. And so you just be like, man, I'm just grateful to be here. And it changes your perspective and your angst towards other people when you get revelation instead of like, why don't they see it? Well, it was about 2 weeks ago you didn't see it. And so it keeps us humble, it keeps us in a spirit of growth, and it keeps us from jumping down each other's throats and irritating each other. So just give people a break and love people. That was free. Okay, so are you smarter than a sixth grader? And I've got a little test for you today. These are actual test questions for a sixth grade people. And many of you are a little nervous. You're like, I didn't even study. Can I ask Siri, Amazon, or Alexa, help me? No, so we're gonna ask ourselves, are you smarter than a sixth grader? Okay, are you ready? What's the third planet from the sun? Don't say it yet, we're on the count of three. And it's round, by the way, in case you're wondering. I don't care what YouTube video you watched. It's round. The moon, round. Sun, round. Earth, flat. That makes sense. Sorry. The third planet from the sun. It's Earth. It's Earth. Everybody's like, really? Wow. You should know this. Sixth grade, okay. Next question is, who's this? Don't say, and we're gonna say it in the count of three. And if you know who he is, which number president was he? Come on, sixth grade. On your mark, get set, go. Who was it? Benjamin Franklin, and he was never president. Somebody's like, George Washington. And this is why not everybody should homeschool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like homeschool, but sometimes send them away. Okay, if something floats on water because it is less blank, don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud. Some of you who are in first service are saying it with confidence now. You did not have that first. You're like, I got it now. Okay, you be quiet. One, two, three. Dense. Okay. Who is the second president of the United States? Second president. On the count of three. One, two. Some of the high school people who are closer to sixth grade, you still don't get it. You're like, one, two, three. John Adams. Okay, who is getting all of these right? Okay, all right. You get a gold star next to your name. Okay. What is the capital of Alaska? Are you smarter than a sixth grader? What is the capital of Alaska? One, two, three. Juneau. Good job. Seriously, though, a lot of people, like, they're like, I got it. You did not say that this loud. Okay, who invented the telephone? And I'll give you a hint, it was not Bill Gates, okay? Bill Gates and the vaccine. It was all connected. It's all connected. On count of three, one, two, three, Alexander Graham Bell. I actually said Thomas Edison in the beginning, and no, it wasn't. Okay, my bad. Also another inventor. Okay, which is the largest mountain range? And that means, like, not the highest, but the longest, right? Largest mountain range. Largest mountain range in the world. We know something about mountains in the Northwest. Are you ready? On the count of three, David, come on. I'm depending on you. Some of you guys have, like, masters. You guys are geniuses. David's one of them. The Himalayas. Okay, which state has the most lakes? Don't say. On the count of three. One, two, three. A lot of people on the front row. They were here before. All right, those who were not here for service, how many sizes does a trapezoid have? How many sides does a trapezoid have? They're like, is that a shape? Like, four. Who got that one right? Okay, a couple of you. All right, the last one. If you use the sentence, Autumn is a very good drummer, which part of the speech is the word very? On the count of three. One, two, three. Adverb. Autumn is a very good drummer. Give yourselves a hand. If you got all of those right, give yourself, you're like, I did it. Sixth grade, okay? Sixth grade. So I bring this up is because in Luke chapter 2, I believe, we're going to go there. Jesus was a sixth grader. And at sixth grade, he had enough wit and enough skill, and I believe the grace of the Holy Spirit, to understand the point of life. And we've got 55-year-olds now who do not understand the point of life. And we want to be at least as smart as a church as Jesus was at 12 years old. And so read this story with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was about 12 years old, that's sixth grade, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, they returned. And the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. Listen, everybody should get a break. If you feel like you're not a good parent, you never lost Jesus. Okay? You might do some stupid things. Your kid might not be reading all the way that well, but guess what? You still got him. You never lost him for 3 days. So you're doing awesome. You're welcome for that encouragement. So when they could not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, I said this, that's 9 meals. They lost Jesus for a while. Like, that's a little bit. Like, some of you guys lost keys before and different things, but losing a child for 3 days, they're like, we don't know where he's at. Like, we're going to find him, though. We're going to find him, Savior of the world. Gives a whole new meaning to I found Jesus. Okay, now, so they're sitting there. When they finally found him, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. 12 years old. And all of who heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and that had his answers. You believe it or not, I believe 12-year-old Jesus could teach me something. He had a perspective already. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father, you ever corrected somebody in front of you? Like, you're like, come here. That's what Mary's doing. She's like, Jesus, come here, please. Why have you gave us this much anxiety? But look at Jesus. I love this. Perspective, single-mindedness, heart. This is what we live for. This is what we do. I want you to catch it. The whole point of the message, right here, this sentence. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Did you not know? I must be about my Father's business. As a church, what would it look like if our response to people says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Are you not confused? I am not confused of why I'm here. Yes, I run a construction business, or yes, I run a photography, or yes, I work at Intel, or yes, I do these things. These are all very important, but I am not confused why I'm here. I make money, sure. Yeah. I give money, sure. I buy a house, sure. I do these things, sure. But I must be about my Father's business. And I believe this wholeheartedly. Some of us have felt anxiety of 2020 and anxiety of like 2021 is getting crazy too. And so we're like, you know, and I guarantee you, money back guarantee, you begin to focus more on Jesus and what he is doing on this planet. Your angst and your anxiety will become less. Your purpose and your fulfillment in life will become more. And I'm trying to help you have a happier life. I'm not saying you won't have bad times, but your perspective will be different. Mary was having anxiety. Jesus was like, I'm about my Father's business. We can go through tough times and be about our God's business. Changes everything. Now, I began to think about all the things we have to do. And guys, our world is very busy. I don't know if we're moving faster. I don't know if we just are comparing more. Like pumpkin patches, for instance, that always gets me. When I was a kid, we were so poor. Maybe, I don't even think they had pumpkins back then. Maybe they did. But nowadays, like everybody goes to a pumpkin patch. Like it's a thing. I'm like, why do we go to a pumpkin patch? Do you just pick up a pumpkin at the store? Like, what's the point of this? But it's like a thing. And now like fall time, you better go to the pumpkin patch or you're not a good parent. And like this year, we were not a good parent. We did not go to the pumpkin patch. We were like, go get a pumpkin at Safeway. You know what I'm saying? Like, boom, pumpkin, you know? No mud on your shoes or anything. It's great. Okay, so we always have to do lots of stuff. And we're busy and we're fear of missing out. It's deep. So I got some stuff that we have to do. Are you ready? Prayer, devotions, go to work, go to school, be good parents, be a good spouse, take the kids to practice, be a good son or daughter. Okay? You got to go to work parties. You got to eat right, exercise. You got to pay your bills. And if you don't exercise, you got to go shopping for new clothes. You got to visit family. You got to plan a vacation. Then you got to go on the vacation. And then you got to sometimes, anybody go on a vacation and feel like you need a vacation after you go on vacation? You're just like, oh my goodness, I need a couple days just to unwind from vacation. Organize the attic. You got to do some yard work. You got to take care of the dog. You got to unpack from the vacations, if I already didn't say that. You got to go hiking because everybody hikes now. It's Instagram. It's cool. You got to go hiking and see all the waterfalls. And you got to serve a church. You got to volunteer. You got to fix the car. You got to buy a new car if you can't fix that old one. And now you got to catch up with old friends. Are you tired yet? These are things that I could think about. You got other things that you do, and we got to do them. And if you don't do them, do you have that friend on Instagram that's doing all of these things really well and you're so jealous of them? You like surprise them over at their house every once in a while just to see if they live like that all the time, and they do. You like come over there like, how do you have a clean house all the time? And they usually don't have kids, but whatever. It's like it's amazing. Like, and you've given up on your housework. You're like, that's just not me. You gotta have a hobby. Because it's healthy. You got to think about your soul. You got to have a hobby. You got to clean the garage, grocery shopping, go camping, cook our meals. You got to wash the car, drive your brother to the airport, clean the house, host the birthday party, host the baby shower, host the grad party. And then you got to clean the house again. Got to go hunting. You got to go fishing. Come on, Justin. And most of all, you got to go to jujitsu with your friends. Okay. It's a lot of stuff. And you've got your own list, and man, it gets exhausting, right? Sometimes if we're looking at all this stuff we have to do, and today my heart is that we really only need to do one thing. We got to be about our Father's business. That's it. That's it. And listen, I understand the house needs clean, the attic, all of these things, but in all of our doing, there is one thing that needs done. And what this should do is this should calm those anxieties of, oh, I gotta, and I'd be like, no, I gotta do this. You can do the right thing sometimes at the wrong time. And some of you, I can sense that you've got a pressure in your life to measure up and to, I gotta keep going, I gotta keep striving. And maybe it comes from, I gotta prove my parents that I'm successful. No, none of that matters. We take that junk and we take that ball of anxiety and we throw it. I say, no, I am successful when I reach what God's called me to do. That's success. Not the house. Not the stuff. And in America, we're just grabbing. Can you sense the rat race? Like, I go to Nike employee store. Actually, not anymore. It's been a while because I just kind of got out of it. But like, you go there, and sometimes I like to go there and I like try to like look around. I know that sounds weird, but you just like look at people and they're just, like consuming. And like, I need another pair of shoes because I only have 12 and I need more. Without my shoes, I'm just a monster. You know, like, it's like more. And I just need them. And why? Because I need them. They told me I need them. Consuming, and it's eating us alive. Have you ever been on a vacation so expectant about it? You're so excited. You get back and you're like, one, you need that 3-day vacation afterwards, but then you're like, all right, what else am I going to do? I need to go on another vacation. And we're finding ourselves more. And it's because we're not doing what we're really on this planet for. Some of you have callings and perspectives that's beyond your workforce. It's beyond what you'll do on the job site. You're not awakened to it yet. You've not yet even begun to climb into it. And there's those talents and those abilities and those things that God's put on the inside of you. And you don't even know that when you begin to use them, you will blossom. You'll begin to be like, oh my gosh, I never knew I could do this. I never knew I had this in me. And it'll be like you breathe easier. It's like you right now, you're breathing like this. And isn't it, you ever had a cold, you know, COVID or something? And you're like, and life sucks. And some of you are living your life like that. You are living only halfway breathing. And you're like, yeah, life's so awesome. I can't wait till I go on another waterfall and go on another vacation. It's going to be so amazing. I'm living it up. Bigger house, bigger boat.
It's not our perspective. And you won't even know that you just witnessing to people, it'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm alive. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. Some of you guys will pay large sums of money to go on a mission trip. You're like, it's so exciting, I'm traveling, airport selfie. But you won't walk across the street and talk to your neighbor. Open up your eyes, open up our breathing, begin to do that which God put us on this planet to do. Not confused, be as smart as a 12-year-old Jesus that says, I know why I'm here. I'm not confused. I got other talents. Yeah, I had to work a job. Okay, you guys are holding me up. Romans, listen, some of you will come alive. Some of you are like 30 years old. I'm not claiming your age or whatever, but you have not yet been alive yet. And when you start doing that which God told you, you'll be like, oh my goodness, I've been missing out all along. You won't be grasping at stuff anymore. You won't be I just need something else. No. You'll find your happiness right there. Romans 12, it says verse 1. This is in the Message. MSG says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping. You're eating. You're going to work. God knows you need all that stuff. There's a blessing that's when you serve God, he blesses you in ways that you could not bless yourself. When you make sacrifices for him, he puts you in places. There was a while back where, thankfully, I got invited to go preach a youth camp. We went over to New York, and it was that area. And one thing led to the other. And I would have never gone to been able to go to New York by myself, or I just wouldn't have made plans for it and wouldn't have spent the money. And somehow it came around, and our family, we went to New York, ended up there. We were at New York. We were at the White House and doing all these cool things. And I really thought in the middle of it, it was just the goodness of God. The faithfulness of God. When you say yes to him, he's able to take you places that you could not go on your own. Some of you are missing out on the things he's got for you because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to live up to the Instagram height on your own. Instead of just surrendering your life to him, you're like, wait, all of a sudden I'm here in front of people doing things that I never would have thought possible. Don't do it on your own. Don't strive it on your own. Allow him to lead and to make space for you. Don't kick doors open. Let him walk doors through. Don't push your way to position. Let him rise you to that position. It's a drill. I mean, some of you guys are like pushing your way at work. Let God promote you. Let God make a way for you. You don't even have to say a thing to your boss. And that's a sign of true trusting in the Lord. Sometimes we're like, oh, I trust in the Lord. Hey, boss, hey, by the way, I need a raise. I mean, you know, just reminding you, I do a good job. Wait, you trusting in your boss or you trusting in Jesus? Which one? I forget. Okay, I'm sorry. Message. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. One more scripture, or a couple more scriptures, actually. Luke chapter 10. Are you smarter than a sixth grader? Luke chapter 10. This is a story many of you have heard before, the story of Mary and Martha, and I believe it really depicts our society right now. Some of us are so busy that we miss Jesus just right in front of us. And so Luke chapter 10. Verse 38, if you got your Bibles, it says, as Jesus' disciples continued their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary, and Mary sat down attentively before the master, observing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated. Circle that word, highlight that word, think about that word. She became exasperated. Just like, ugh. You know that feeling? Just, I'm busy. I got so much stuff to do. I got people like, you don't understand. Easy for you to say, you're a pastor. You only have to work on Sundays. Some of us have real jobs.
Dude, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me they had a real job, I would not need a job because I'd be a millionaire.
I got a real job.
Okay. I became exasperated.
You chose your life. You chose your calling. You said yes. Don't get mad at people about their jobs.
People are weird about that. Okay, I'm metal. So she was exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores that were in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus. Think about that. What kind of, you get so little that you go and interrupt Jesus.
Excuse me, Jesus just wants to say, I know it's great, but excuse me, Lord, don't you think it's unfair? I mean, think about that. He's like, excuse me, Jesus. She's like, shh. Jesus, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me for all this work by myself? Don't you think you should tell her to get up and help me? She just stopped Jesus and told Jesus what he should do. That's what that angst and anxiety and the junk, we won't even be thinking straight. Some of y'all fighting on people on Facebook, you're not even thinking straight. Clear. And look what Jesus says. So the Lord says, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled and pulled away? If we could say anything about the church right now, is it's pulled away. It's distracted. It used to be that Hollywood used to come to the church for ideas, creativity. The days of Katharine Kuhlman in the 1900s, she put on such a show that Hollywood actors would come and see what she was doing. And now the church is so unplugged from the things of God and the creativity of the Holy Spirit. We've got to go to American Idol to get our ideas and how to run our stages. Try to go to the world to get ideas. And we need your creativity. The church needs to awaken. And instead of being looking for the church or looking for the world, we need to be awakened, doing what God's called us to do. Martha, why are you so upset and troubled and pulled away, distracted? Are these things, are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing that is most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted. Church, let's become undistracted. Singular focus. And guys, we do all those things that we do, but we love God with all of our heart in the middle of them. You go to our work with the light and the freshness of the Holy Spirit, with wisdom from upon high, and we share and we talk about the goodness of God at the right time. And instead of peddling anything else, we peddle him. We ask people, hey, do you know about him, his goodness, his grace? Can I pray with you? And this will take you getting out of your normal and into extraordinary. This is not normal. This is not normal thinking, because normal thinking, we're kind of selfish or we're kind of introverted. So you'll have to push out of your comfort zone. But I challenge you, the Bible says that if we're Christians, this is what we do. It's what we do. He says, is it really that important? She is undistracted and I won't take this privilege from her. Last scripture, John chapter 4. You guys have been phenomenal today. I don't mean any condemnation. I always want you to leave church built up. I always want us with the right perspective. I want us leaving here. And guys, we can do it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. So we don't need to worry about, what am I going to say? Am I going to say it right? Just be as authentic as you can and talk about God's goodness and think about his goodness and share. Like, you can be honest with people and say, dude, I don't even know about all this, but God's good. Like, that's a good answer for somebody. And so rather than you trying to figure out the perfect way, just go in a situation and say, God, help me talk. I'm going to try to do this the best I can. And you'll be amazed at the things that come out your mouth because the Holy Spirit is involved in what you're doing. You'll be amazed at what comes out your mouth because the Holy Spirit will be involved in what you're doing. He'll give you grace. He'll give you ability. This is a story. Pastor spoke on this last week about the woman by the well. Jesus came out of his way, talked to a woman that he was not supposed to culturally talk to, and it began to satisfy his soul. That's what I'm kind of talking about today. You'll begin to be more satisfied in life as you do what God's called you to do.
And the disciples had gone and got food, and they brought it back. And this is where we pick up at 34, and they're like, hey, Jesus, we got the Chick-fil-A. Here you go. And that's what Jesus ate, by the way. It's scriptural. 34, he says, my food is to be doing what the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion. There is a satisfaction that comes from doing what God's called you to do. It's better than food. And some of us like food, you know what I'm saying? Like, we like it. And it'll satisfy us in that way. Keep going. It says, and as the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say the harvest is 4 months away? Now, that is a saying that we don't really understand right now. Back in those times, everything revolved around the harvest and the food. And you planted your seed and you kind of waited. You know, you didn't have anything else to do. And it was almost this wake up in the morning and I could be lazy, because they're like, hey, we got 4 more months before that corn's ready anyway. So what's the point? And Jesus said to them, don't say that. Don't treat souls like that. We're like, well, you know, Oregon's really liberal, so we're exempt from the whole go into all the world and preach the gospel thing. We're just going to hold on until heaven. Jesus didn't understand that we were in Oregon, you know. You know, he didn't get it. The Bible says, look at all the people coming. Now is the harvest time, for their hearts are like a vast field of ripened grain, ready for spiritual harvest. And everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. Hey, by the way, when you do God's business, you get God's rewards. And he's not talking about just here on earth. He's talking about in heaven as well. And those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the harvest will celebrate together with great joy. And this confirms the saying, one who sows the seed, the other reaps the harvest. And I sent you out to harvest a field where you haven't planted, and where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap their harvest. In Oregon, we have a bunch of people who have moved here, and they might have grown up with Christian beliefs. They might have at one point been members of a church or understood these things. And then when we go and talk to them, when we have enough wisdom, and just not everybody's ready. The Bible actually talks about it. Sometimes you'll go to some doors and they won't receive you. And it's not, and the Bible says, shake the dust off in your feet and move on. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm gonna shake my dust off. And that's not the heart. It says it's just moving on. It's understanding that there's other people who are going to receive, and I'm not gonna busy myself with the people who are not ready. So there'll be somebody ready. And by the way, it might not be your best friend. Your best friend might be the one shutting the door to you. And that's fine. And we're not even mad at them about it. We're just going to move on and not waste our words and not waste our time. And because there will be somebody ready. And so these people in Portland, I fully believe that when we go to them, those seeds are already in their heart. And when you come with a voice in season, a word in season, you awaken those seeds. You water those seeds and they begin to produce life. And they're like, okay, what you just said, I've never heard anybody say before. But because you opened up your mouth, that began to grow on the inside of them. So church, I pray today that we would awaken the things of God on the inside of us. We would look at the fields and we would not say, well, 4 more months. Man, we just maybe just another. No. The harvest is now. The harvest is ripe. We can do it. Having a perspective of this, I'm going to go share my faith. I'm just going to talk about the goodness of God. And nobody's exempt from this. We all get this opportunity to share about the good things God's done in our lives. Let's put him as our priority, because I know we're smarter than a sixth grader. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would awaken those things on the inside of us. I pray that our priorities are right. I pray that we're not chasing things and stuff more than your calling and being about your business. I pray right now for the church, everybody within my earshot voice right now that can hear. I pray that we awaken, stir up, do what you called us to do, be who you called us to be. And Father, I just thank you for that heavenly perspective. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.